Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Dorsey Wright podcast for this week, October the 11th, 2021. I'm Jay Gragnani, and here joining me this week is Will Gibson. And as we come into October, another week of October, we've had a few trading sessions down now. And so far, a month of October that is a month that typically, historically, has brought with it some elevated elements of volatility. We've certainly seen that so far play out in the market this year. The market started off strong in October, coming off of a volatile September. Nonetheless, coming right out of the gates, the S&P 500 was up about 2% so far in the month of October through Friday. Opened up Monday morning, markets were up. Now they're down. Still some trading left to happen. But these types of environments where you see some back and forth action for the market is not something that is uncommon for the month of October. You know, with that said, it certainly isn't always necessarily comfortable, but certainly not uncommon. As we look at October is a month on the heels of September. That's historically the worst month for the market, but it's also the last month in the seasonally weak 6 month stretch in the market. And so, you know, on the other side of this month is November, and that month of November is typically positive. With that said, there have certainly been some bright spots that we've seen in the market here in a volatile September as well as the beginning of October. And what we wanted to do today is spend a little bit of time talking about some of those areas, many of which would be considered more alternative in nature, and then also talk about what we have to look ahead for as we move through the month of October with some important news and earnings coming out. And so with that said, you know, one of the areas that we've seen recently as being a bright spot, and by recently, it was a very strong area of the market. We saw some pullbacks earlier this year, and we've seen some resurgence in that area, and that is specifically crude oil. And crude oil is something now that we have seen get back above $80 a barrel, a price now as we're recording this on Monday, the 11th, got to about $82 at one point. Nonetheless, this is the highest level that we've seen for the prices of crude oil since going back to the fall of 2014, almost 7 years ago to the date, and hard to believe that it's been that long since we've seen $80 crude oil. But that last time that we saw $80, it was on its way down, and which is different than what we're seeing now as crude oil prices on their way up. I mean, if you go back to that time period, the crude oil prices in June of 14 were around $106, $105, $106 a barrel. And by January of 2015, after a sharp correction, crude oil prices were all the way down at 44. And that really was the start of, you know, an energy sector, crude oil in general, that has just was out of favor for years. It really didn't have much going for it. That's been very different so far this year. Energy as a sector has been the best performing sector in the U.S. equity market. And obviously crude oil has moved back above $80 a barrel. So, you know, a lot of positive developments. I will say now that where we are at these levels, crude oil itself has gotten to be about 100% overbought, which is done twice this year already, once back in the February time period and then again in June. Nonetheless, long-term trend of crude oil is still positive. And, you know, that's important for a number of reasons. One, you know, just given its weight in a lot of indexes, but we've also seen, you know, the strength within the commodity asset class and alternative assets this year have not been just confined to crude oil. You've seen a lot of bright spots out there.
Yeah, Jay, definitely. And this is something that we were touching on a bit last week, and I think it's worth delving into more today. But there's been a lot of participation in the commodity space, the alternative assets more broadly. One thing that I was reading earlier, I wanted to share that among the commodities tracked in the S&P GSCI commodity spot indexes, 100% of them are showing positive 3-year rolling returns. And that hasn't happened in approximately 17 years. So talk about participation, talk about breadth. There's a lot of that going on in the commodity space right now. And you mentioned crude oil, specifically starting there, I would mention at five, six-year highs. And as technicians, we're looking for support, resistance, patterns, things to work from. And now where we are, there's really not a lot of resistance to be working from right now. The supply and demand picture 6 years ago is arguably much different than it is now. There's different buyers and sellers in the marketplace than there were previously. So somewhat uncharted territory here for crude is something we've been watching. We know it's a large market, and that's affecting a lot of the weighted indices in the commodities landscape. It's also affecting a fair amount of sectors, the energy equity sector being one of them, which we'll touch on a bit later. And then Jay, you also mentioned it's trading at 110% on its weekly distribution, which is just that short-term measurement of overbought or oversold status for the front month contract CL/ on our platform. And something that we do like to see is that if you're looking for exposure, we don't like to be entering at these very, what we would consider frothy levels of high weekly distributions. But at the same time, when you study these, you typically see these happen in stronger uptrends for commodities or for a particular name. You don't see something get 100% plus overbought in cyclical or downside extended bear market. So I did want to mention that as one thing. And you've seen the same type of story more specifically in the natural gas market as well. It's been the best performing commodity for going on 2 quarters now. That has been sitting in heavily overbought territory for an extended amount of time, being well above the top of its weekly distribution reading, just confirming that these typically happen in strong uptrends. Natural gas, in particular lead, like I mentioned before, in the past 2 quarters is nearing, I believe, almost 100% on the year. We have seen a fair amount of weather-related instances play to that. It's popular use in heating, so you've seen some extraordinary cold places. But nonetheless, the supply side of the story, you've had this rapid return from demand, and there's a lot of catch-up in that market, as well as the other commodities market. That was a big story over the past quarter, as well as the rest of the year. And even outside of the commodity space, that's been a common theme. A lot of demand coming back extremely strong, as you saw for copper, you saw for lumber, you saw for various other commodities at different points in the year. You saw these bubbles of demand just bursting through the seams, pushing prices to multi-year highs, some cases all-time highs. Most of that has subsided, I will say. You saw copper cool off. You've seen lumber dramatically cool off from last time we talked about it. Agriculture broadly, we've also seen cool off. There are still a few pockets that are heavily overbought or at multi-year highs, but you're still just seeing these bubbles pop in various commodity markets, not popping to historically low levels. You probably have some higher bottoms in a lot of these commodities now, or higher floors, but lots of demand for the commodity landscape. Very bullish picture right now, to be honest, broadly speaking. The last thing I'll say here is that the eyesore, if you will, as a commodities investor has been precious metals. They were a laggard over the past number of quarters. They went on a big run at the end of 2020, but you really haven't seen demand pick up to match those levels. Again, talking gold, silver, palladium, platinum, all of those among their relative strength laggards. They're still at the bottom of our matrices. We saw some notable breakdowns on GLD, SLV2 ETFs as well. So we are could see some oversold condition and some near-term bounces, but really no strength from there, contrary to the broader strength that we've seen in the rest of commodities market, Jay.
Yeah, and that's been interesting, you know, especially on the precious metals and the gold front. I mean, you think all of the inflationary talks that are out there, the inflationary fears, gold certainly historically one of those areas that investors have utilized and accessed as a potential hedge against inflation. And you just haven't seen the demand come back for precious metals yet, like you have for crude oil, as the demand for crude and energy prices all but stopped in March of last year. And then you saw, as you mentioned, this rotation amongst some of the industrial building related raw materials, raw inputs. And here we are, you know, with the reopening of the economy continuing to happen, the demand for energy consumption seemingly continues to push higher there. And, you know, outside of that, or I guess I should say in addition to that, if we look across kind of the alternative investment landscape, one of the newer areas that investors are certainly talking more about is the cryptocurrency space. and, you know, Bitcoin specifically being the largest one that's out there. Bitcoin moving back above 50,000. As a matter of fact, it's back above 55,000 now, at least as of last night, as of Friday night's close. But Bitcoin and a lot of the crypto assets, the crypto coins, are areas right now that are continuing to push higher. Bitcoin not quite back to its peak. It peaked around 63,000 earlier this year in April, but is pushing very, very close to that level as we continue to see seemingly more gains out of that space day after day. And there's, you know, interesting, just to continue as we watch the ETF landscape, is there's a continual push and a continuing filing with the SEC by a number of the different ETF issuers out there to get approvals for actual exchange traded products. There's some private placement products. There are some ways out there to gain exposure, but there's not specifically an exchange traded fund that is in existence right now today. And so, you know, that space continues to push, and the ETF issuers continue to push the envelope. And even the SEC is coming out and saying that is one of the things that they want to get done and try and figure out is if they can get approval on that on a Bitcoin or crypto related ETF in some capacity that's not buying individual companies, but it's actually investing in the currency, whether physically backed or futures backed. So that'll be interesting to continue to watch that debate as it goes on in the marketplace for, and that would just simply open up access to that space to many more investors that are out there in the marketplace as they could buy it amongst traditional brokerage accounts. So, you know, that'll be something very, very interesting to continue to watch as we move forward here. But more near term, I guess, in terms of outside of the alternative space, you know, as we continue to push through October and especially the rest of this week and next week, being very important on a lot of fronts. You've got a lot of economic data that's set to come out here over the course of this week. I think you've got CPI numbers coming out on the heels of, you know, seeing yields and rates continuing to push higher, the 10-year back up at 1.6%. And you're certainly, you know, seeing that continue to tick up from there. But, you know, something important too that we'll continue to watch is just individual company earnings on the heels of the third quarter coming to a close. Will, that's going to be something to keep an eye on here over the next couple of weeks.
It will, Jay. And we have over 400 companies slated to report in the next 2 weeks. A bulk of those, of course, coming from the financial sector, about 200 names from that group. That is a space that you talked about. Rising rates is traditionally very sensitive to that energy as well. We've also seen a fair amount of correlation to rising rate environments. So that's going to be something to watch, maybe something that will be mentioned in the quarterly commentary. And financials has been a place of great relative strength. It's near the top of our Dolly sector rankings. It's also at the top of our asset class group scores sector rankings. So some additional confirmation there that we have seen some longer term technical positive setup in that sector. So that's something to watch for. And then on the flip side of that, the industrial sector is housing the second most stocks reporting in the next 2 weeks. We have seen some continued near-term deterioration there, some breakdowns from the Spider Fund, XLI, and even just on the individual stock basis, a lot of those bullish percents for industrials are below that 50% threshold. So that's a sector to watch. That's something to look at and check your individual stock exposure heading into the next few weeks. Note for breakdowns, note for support levels if you need to work from those. Last few notes on the earnings here before we close up today. I did want to mention one note here, and that the average weekly distribution. So we talked about that concept before, but the average weekly distribution for all sectors except two right now are negative of the stocks reporting in the next 2 weeks. So to clean that up a little bit, financials and energy are the only two sectors that have an average stock trading in slightly overbought levels right now heading into earnings. All other sectors are showing an average slightly oversold condition. So there are maybe some technical expectations for those sectors heading into the coming weeks, and that's something to keep mind of going ahead. So in aggregate, just a reminder, check your individual stock exposure. It's easy to become emotional right now, to sell on feelings and not so much data and facts. There's a lot of qualitative information that's going to be coming out. So allowing the market to dictate what's important, what's not important, viewing it through a technical lens, I think is going to be very important heading forward. So those things said, I think is what we wanted to hit on today. Jay, thanks for bringing me on. And I thank everybody for listening, giving us the time per usual. If you have any questions or want to speak about markets or anything that we can help with as a business, don't hesitate to reach out. Our main phone number, 804-320-8511, email dwa@dorseyright.com. Thank you.